Look at those drums. You got a drum store here? Does each one belong to a certain person?
All the students.
Oh, is it for the class, or is it just like they stay here all the time? They go home when everybody goes home, or they stay here? Everybody knows who. Looks like Radha Shyam Sundar going for a rocket ride. That your creation, Krishnarjuna? Suspending them like that? Very artistic. It's nice, along with the rest of backdrops and things. Waiting for them to descend. When all of you, or some number of you, become qualified brahmanas to worship them, they'll descend. That's all it takes. That's all it's waiting for. They'll become qualified. Seriously. That's all it takes. They're just waiting. Well, I didn't expect to be here. I had a plan, and Krishna had a plan, and Krishna won. You ever notice how that happens? And that I was going to be traveling from New York to come to Chicago to attend a gathering of our North American Executive Committee in Chicago. Tomorrow, the next couple of days. The flight was on Sunday, but I heard the flight was canceled. So I called up the airlines and they said, well, no penalty because we canceled the flight. You can fly another time. So I thought, let me get out before the hurricane comes. So I'm here. And it's like messy in New York. One devotee didn't know that, and so their flight canceled. The next time they can come is Wednesday, when the day the meeting is over. So Krishna has his plans. Just have to stay tuned to the Krishna channel. It's a small little item. Just stay tuned to the Krishna channel. It's not just a weather channel, it's what Krishna wants. I understand you had a nice time yesterday with Apura. I've had many conference calls with Apura on the call, but I've never met him in person until just like 10 minutes ago. So I knew what he had to offer before he came here. I was very happy to know that he was going to be possibly able to come and visit. And can I share with him the compliment you made?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. He's been... You're based in the UK, yes?
Yeah.
So he's very inspired to make a stronger International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But he doesn't, you know, he's been building his skill but doesn't just think about things, he does things. So he planned a preaching tour, and this is for about 3 months. He's been in South America, parts of North America, and 3 months ago is when he launched. And he just shared with me of all the places that he's visited in the past 3 months. This place is the most receptive and responsive and eager to take the ideas and move with them. So compliments to you all. You're the best. So far. There's some other places on this tour. But so far, you're up there. And because I know what the message is that he shared because of our calls together, many of the same elements as things that you've been hearing for as long as we've been together. And that's a lot of years. At least, you know, from the time some of the core members of the Naperville community. Stoka Krishna, when did I first visit your home? How many years ago was that?
96, 97.
Is that right, Neha? How old were you?
I was 4.
And now you're?
19.
Okay, so 15 years ago. 15 years ago. We've been at this for 15 years, same, like, beating the drum and playing the trumpet and go team go. So I thought to share with you a little portion of what's going on in Chicago. In the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, sequentially they're covering the particular subject matter, and I thought I would summarize what that subject matter is. So you're like up to speed with what's going on at Rogers Park, Kishore Temple. How's that? Okay. You can change the channel if you want, but that's what I was thinking to do. The chapter heading is Prithu Maharaj as having conversation with the four Kumaras. And I was sharing during class this morning. Actually, I give credit to Ramabhadra, our New York Temple president. He said he was sharing with me how fortunate we are that we have video and audio and so much other kind of technology where we can capture Srila Prabhupada's life. Like this wonderful creation of Yadavar Prabhu following Srila Prabhupada. Maybe some of you have received copies of that. It's like a 12-part series that goes back when Prabhupada was still in India. And the early, you know, just chronologically, on video with narration. So it's Srila Prabhupada's life and what he did and how he did what he did and how he affected people on video. Which, like, you know, that's video, that's technology. But could you imagine if we had video technology and Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit on the bank of the Ganges, and for 7 days they were hearing and discussing the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, you had it on video. Shukadeva Goswami sitting there, and, or even just like his entering. Not like, you know, a film of some actors in India or something, but the real thing. And Shukadeva Goswami sits down and speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. Or here. Here's the scene, imagine. Prithu Maharaj, who is a Shaktivesh avatar, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, is being crowned as king, and he's addressing his subjects. And then when a king addresses subjects, generally he's got like his marching orders, like, I want you to do this and do that, and all glories to the kingdom. But what Prithu Maharaj does is he offers his gratitude to his citizens for doing their duties so nicely. They're doing their duties so nicely by his influence as the king. Citizens don't just do things like that unless they have a proper king. The king inspires them. But he's thanking them for doing those duties nicely, and he explains that while you're doing so, automatically a portion of your beneficial activities is going to me as the king. And that I should in turn try to do my duties very nicely, for in turn the benefit will go to you, the citizens, as the relationship between the king and his citizens. And he speaks on the virtue of pure devotional service, and he just, the subject matter becomes so elevated. He's seated on a royal throne in front of an assembly of his entire kingdom. The exaltation and glorification of the Supreme Lord is so superb and sublime. The four Kumaras come just to not just witness but participate in this wonderful glorification. Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Lord glorifying the position of pure devotional service. So the Kumaras come to hear. But when the Kumaras come to hear, the king stops speaking because he wants to honor and worship the Kumaras. So he gets off his throne, places them on the throne. But, you know, they fit because they're little kids. And he's this, you know, big king. They're like little Kumaras, little children. And they're effulgent, radiantly effulgent, brilliant. And he worships them, literally, and washes their feet and sprinkles the water from their feet upon his crown to sanctify himself, and offers praise and prayers of glorification. And then he asks, what is to be done to elevate, because there's this huge assembly of his whole kingdom out there, to elevate all of the citizens of my kingdom to the platform of spiritual perfection. That's the concern of the king, not like maintaining his position of king or extracting taxes and living comfortably, but giving the best possible welfare to his citizens. Spiritual well-being, spiritual perfection. And the Kumaras are so pleased. And your words are befitting a person of your position as king. And the question you've asked is also befitting the position of yourself as a king. Gladly we'd like to speak about this subject matter. Because by hearing such subject matter, it's beneficial for both the hearer and for the speaker. And for all individuals, up till now, so much later from when Prithu Maharaj was speaking, and Kumaras. I wanted to read two particular verses that start with text 18 from chapter 22. Sanat Kumar, amongst the four Kumaras, is the first speaker. Unplug the phone. My dear King Prithu, I am very nicely questioned by you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you, who are always thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of saintly persons. Behavior of saintly persons is they want to speak about subject matters that are beneficial for everyone. Such intelligence is befitting your position. When there is a congregation of devotees, there are discussions, questions and answers, become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. It has been conclusively decided in the scriptures, after due consideration, that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily conception of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. So there's some appreciation of how Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam fit together. It's the same message. One is the graduate study, and the other is the undergraduate study. So the same message as when we study Bhagavad Gita, without the history, because Bhagavatam is a Purana, Bhagavat Purana, the history of the Lord and His devotees. So these are Prithu Maharaj, incarnation of the Lord and His devotees, the Kumaras. Only He's taking the position of, I'm a king, and so I'm honoring the Brahmanas, but it's the Lord honoring His devotees. But the message is the same message. There's a passage from Bhagavad Gita. Who knows what the who knows the Vyavasayatnika verse from Bhagavad Gita? Just raise your hand. Who knows the verse? Okay. You know the verse. Go ahead. Either of you, one of you. You, Shruti. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Do you know it by heart? Swati? Go ahead. Even when reciting Sanskrit, you say it fast. Do you know the verse a little slower and louder? No. Yes. Slower and louder. Same verse. And basically the meaning? Do you know the meaning? Translation? Roughly? Okay, thank you. This is a section of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, where Krishna has just finished saying, I've described Sankhya Yoga, now I'm going to describe Buddha Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is matter and spirit, analyzing the distinction between matter and spirit. So we're spirit, soul, we're not the body. There's the body, and there's the soul, and we fall in the soul department, not the body department. Then, now having explained Sankhya, Krishna says, I'm going to describe Buddha Yoga. And this verse, very important verse, 241 Bhagavad Gita, you can look it up later, is like a synopsis, summary of what Buddha Yoga is. And Buddha Yoga is where one's guided by spiritual intelligence. And when there's spiritual intelligence, Buddhi, a characteristic is all activities have one focus, one purpose. Varieties of activities, fine. One focus, one purpose. That's service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same Bodhi Yoga phrase is used later in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Dadami Bodhi Yogam Tam. I give this intelligence, Yena Mam Upiyantite, by which you can come to me. But there's a qualifier in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says he gives that to those who engage in unalloyed devotional service. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, the completely devoted to me, then I give them this Bodhi Yoga. So you can't, it's not cosmetic. You can't put it on and take it off. It's part of your being or it's not. It's something that Krishna gives you. You can't go to Walmart or Kmart or ShopRite or anywhere and buy one. It's something that Krishna gives you. Intelligence, spiritual intelligence, how to come to him. That's not possible as long as one holds on to a bodily conception of life. Therefore, Sankhya Yoga precedes Bodhi Yoga. So not just conceptual understanding of I'm not this body, I'm spirit, soul, but practical. So now I'm going to read two little passages from the purport of this Vyavasayatmika Bodhi verse, where Prabhupada says, in the course of the purport, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is, fill in the blank, you might say, a changed love of God, or goes back to Godhead, or returns to Goloka Vrindavan, or becomes an unalloyed devotee of Krishna. Those might be good answers. Certainly would be true. But here's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. That sounds like ABC. Like, you know, let's get into like composition and grammar and, you know, literature and, you know, higher studies, not just ABCs. Without the ABCs being comprehensively understood, then anything you might do afterwards is, well, it's cosmetic. It's not realized. I'll little anecdote. I was in Mayapur at our GBC meeting this past year, and I met a devotee who joined the same summer as I did in the Boston Temple. I joined the Hare Krishna movement in the Boston Temple in 1970. That's a lot of years of practicing Krishna consciousness. And that summer of 1970, about a month after I joined, a young couple also moved in. Purna Pragya. Some of you have read Purna Pragya's books. And Narayani, his wife. They were married when they joined. And she's now, you know, teaching all over the place, teaching in VIHE and teaching. She's very accomplished instructor. And Purna Pragya is a very accomplished writer. So I saw Purna Pragya for the first time in like 30 years. I mean, just like happened to cross paths on the veranda of the Lotus Building, and, you know, I went up right up to him and said, Hari Bol. And he said, do you recognize me? I said, of course. You're Purna Pragya. He said, I, you know, We haven't spoken in so long. I didn't know if you would even remember me. He said, of course. Tell me what's going on. So he said what's going on, and he said, I have an idea. After writing all the books that I've written, I'd like to teach a seminar. I said, what's the subject matter? He said, you're not the body. I said, explain. He said, unless people understand, not just theoretically, but practically, you're not the body, then they're not going to make spiritual advancement. And if they can understand truly they're not their body, they can make spiritual advancement. So I've got this whole seminar all worked out. And I tried doing it in Singapore, but it's too difficult there because of the government in Singapore. And so I said, wow. This is a devotee that's been practicing, you know, for 40 plus years. Has the intellectual acumen to like summarize Chaitanya Charitamrita and Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. Very powerful intellect. And what does he want to teach? You're not this body. Like, so thoroughly that people that go through the steps of that seminar, when they're on the other side, they're going to make spiritual progress. So this is the Buddhi Yoga verse, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, or Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Prabhupada is saying, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. Just like we observed during Krishna Janmashtami, just happened. In the description of Devaki's six sons that were killed by Kamsa, the commentary explains, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary specifically, that these six sons of Devaki represent the six enemies, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja. And in order to qualify oneself, as Devaki qualified herself to receive Krishna as her son, for us to qualify ourselves to receive Krishna in our heart, we need to free ourselves from these impurities. Otherwise, although Krishna is in our heart, we won't perceive it or feel consciously aware of Krishna's presence. So this is, Devaki had fear of material existence represented by her nasty brother, Kamsa. And she had fear of these enemies, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja. And she was relieved of those impurities completely, thus qualifying her to receive Krishna as her son. So, further down the purport, at the very end, the last paragraph, Prabhupada is describing the stages of developing Buddhi Yoga, and then he concludes, the whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Dash, not theoretically, but practically, where there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. This is chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. Like, you know, just getting started. Chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. And the same message is being presented here by the four Kumaras. Because the question asked by Prithu, here's all of my citizens. Can you please, you're enlightened, you're perfected. Can you please share what is best for all of the citizens who may not be so fortunate as you to become fortunate. So they're saying the process of hearing and discussing topics like you just brought up, but it must be done where there's beyond the bodily conception. I'll read the verse again. It has been conclusively decided in the scriptures, after due consideration, that the ultimate good for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. Because if we let go of the bodily conception of life, then we can receive spiritual conception of life. See it the other way around. If you hold on very tightly to a material conception of life, how are you going to receive a spiritual conception of life? Even if it's presented again and again and again and again, nicely, pleasantly, expertly, purely, powerfully, the heart remains closed. Consciousness remains stuck. So a willingness, if not more strongly, an eagerness to receive transcendental knowledge, it requires close the door, please. Close the door behind you. Thank you. It requires a willingness, if not an eagerness, to put an end, or hit the pause button at least, to material existence. In order to explore spiritual reality. You can't take it with you. You can't take your dirty laundry into the spiritual world, even if you're attached to it. You can't. You have to leave it behind. So The good news is that even when one has a tendency to be attached, there's immense potency in Krishna Katha and the topics about Krishna, such that the tendency to hold on to the material conception of life is reduced. At least the potency is there. But we know, for example, in the offenses against the chanting of the holy name, was the 10th offense, when we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name, the 10th offense, not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, but to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions in this matter, I can't let go. I have to hold on to my material conceptions. Because if I let go of those things, supposing it doesn't happen, then I'll have nothing. It's like Arjuna's question in Bhagavad Gita. Supposing I take up the path of spiritual life, but I don't complete it. So I leave behind material life, and I don't make it all the way to spiritual life. So I'm like nowhere. I'm neither here nor there. Like a riven cloud. No place in any sphere. That's not having complete faith. So Krishna's response in Bhagavad Gita is, no. It's not like that at all. Any progress that you make in spiritual life, it's permanent. You make 1% progress in this life, you start next life at 2%. When I didn't find this out till I was like 18 years old. When I was born, I had an aunt that lived in Florida. And she opened up a bank account in my name in Florida. I didn't know. I was just born. Didn't get an email, no text message, nothing. Just like, you know, she opened a bank account in my name. And when I was 18, I got a notice from the bank saying, there's an account in your name, and if you want, you know, have to notify us and show proper ID so you can claim this money. I didn't do anything. I just was born. My aunt opened the account. But that doesn't go beyond one lifetime. This is such that you make a deposit, spiritual bank deposit, spiritual account deposit, and it's permanent. Permanent. I mean, you can't even like take it away. You can't withdraw it. It's now it's gone. It's permanent. Even if you don't do anything else for the rest of your lifetime, do something. Remember one lecture in a very hot summer in July in the Brooklyn Temple? You've had a hot summer here in Chicago? Really hot? It was a really hot summer. And it was a morning Bhagavatam class, and Prabhupada was speaking about how kind is Krishna, how merciful is Krishna, how compassionate is Krishna, how grateful is... He was going on like that, giving examples. And then at one point he said, Krishna is so kind. We've opened these temples so people can come and serve Krishna. People come and do even the smallest service for Krishna. They do even the smallest service, and his voice went up. They come to Krishna's temple, even they just turn one screw, Krishna will never forget. And everyone went, ah. The slightest, svapamapiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat, even the slightest spiritual advancement that one makes, it's permanent. It's permanent asset. From the material perspective, we know what assets are. But what's a permanent asset? Nothing. I was... Somebody needs to stand by the door and keep the door closed. Somebody was wearing a t-shirt that said, nothing is forever. You know, there are two ways to read that. Nothing is forever. Or, what can you say that lasts forever? But we can say, the soul lasts forever, and we can say, devotional service, it lasts forever. It may not be in our memory, you know, the kirtan that was so nice, or the japa we chanted one morning that was so nice, or the Janmashtami festival that was so nice, or something. But spiritually, it's with Krishna's account, it's permanent. It's nothing like anything of this world. It's unique. And we can't do it on our own. We require descending mercy from those who extend some mercy to us and engage us in devotional service. So we're forever indebted to those who engage us in devotional service. But that progress that we make, that little even spiritual advancement, is permanent. And as we make that little spiritual advancement, at least the tight grip that we have on the material conception of life diminishes. The potency is there. And then there's still this little free will thing that we have to do, and that's say yes. I wish to let go of the material conception of life. Because we could still hold on to it. Or periodically pick it up and let go and pick it up and let go and pick it up and let go and not really be so decided about it. And then we're not going to make much spiritual progress. You know this example, but I'll say it again. Nice one. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during one Brajmandal Parikrama, after visiting places in Vrindavan in the evening, they would hold a pandal program where hundreds and thousands of people would attend and lecture and questions and answers afterward. And there was a lecture. I know this from one of the earliest Back to Godhead magazines I got. They had it illustrated in a very simple way. The question was asked of Bhaktisiddhanta, why is it that some people, seemingly side by side with others, that are doing the same things, one is making advancement and the other is not making advancement? And we see it practically. Why is it? Is it karma? Is it some gets mercy, some don't get mercy? What's the reason? Bhaktisiddhanta gave the wedding party story. You know the wedding party story. The bride lived downstream, so the family of the young man to be married got on a boat at night, paid the boatman, please take us downstream, in the morning we'll be at the place of the bride where the wedding will be. Oh, what a glorious event. And they took rest on the boat. And the boatman's rowing all night, and they woke up in the morning. Oh, happy day, it's the wedding day. And they looked around and they were in the same place. And they got on the boatman's case. Hey, you didn't get us to the destination. I've been rowing. All night long I've been rowing. And well, how come we haven't reached the destination? And they looked and they saw that he didn't pull up the anchor. Although he was making effort, he didn't pull up the anchor. So without letting go of the bodily conception of life, although you may be making activities, some activities of spiritual practice, that root, the anchor of material identification with material life, expecting happiness through that medium, one isn't going to advance nicely, or not at all. When one lets go of that material conception of life and continues with the process of hearing and chanting on these topics that are being spoken about, very substantial spiritual progress is made. And I'm already past my deadline here, but I want to read one more verse. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires. And for that reason, he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he no longer is interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Supreme Lord. So we have this definition of bhakti. We have two of them. It's two standard ones. One is from Nectar of Devotion, Anyabhidashita Shunyam. Who knows that verse? From our youth group here. Anyabhidashita Shunyam. Jnana Karma Dinavritam. Anukulyena Krishna Anushivanam Bhakti Uttama. Put that in your verses to learn list. It's like the verse that's the essence of the whole of Nectar Devotion, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, where it says, Rupa Goswami is saying, bhakti is, first what bhakti isn't. You've heard me speak about this so many times. Bhakti is devoid of jnana and karma. the desire for fruitive activity and mental speculation. That's what it isn't. And what it is it's a cultivation of those activities that are favorable to and pleasing to the personality of Godhead. That's bhakti, devoid of karma and jnana. And Narada's translation, Narada Pancharatra, another definition is given, found in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. Anyone from our youth know that one? Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Guchate. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. You can figure that one out. You know what Rishikesha is? Yes? Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, the master of the senses. When the senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, that's bhakti. But there's a qualifier. Free from upadhi, sarva upadhi vinir muktam. So this is designations. What's an example of designation? I'm American. I'm a sannyasi. I'm Caucasian. I'm, you know, whatever it is. You could, all the things that you have to fill out when you apply for your visas and passports and college entrance applications and all those other things. You know, it's who you are. Those are all upadis. It's who we really aren't. And what the Kumaras are saying here is those disappear, or conversely, they appear. They disappear when you become a devotee, and they appear when you want something. You have a material desire. And the material desire comes from, I want to enjoy apart from God. I want to be the master. I want to be Purusha. I don't want to be Prakriti anymore. Although it's our constitutional position, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to be something else. I want to be God. I want to be the enjoyer of all I survey. Just like your divine and demoniac nature, the Gita camp, that message, theme. I'm the Lord of all, I'm controller of so many things, and I'm going to make so many more things mine and control them. Demoniac nature. So when that there's that spirit of independent enjoyment from the Supreme, desires arise. And with desires, then you have designations. And through the medium of those designations, you live out illusion, chasing after illusory happiness through those designations. I'll just share this little thing in closing. Friday morning I attended a funeral. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. Somebody that I've known since, 40 years, I saw their body in a box. And a casket. One of our congregation members, a board of directors, his wife, his two sons that I knew from when they were little kids, they're now 30 years old. And their mother left her body on Thursday, and the funeral was Friday. So there she was, that her body was in a box, painted on the finger, and decorated with gopi dots and, but an expired body. So, what happened? I mean, we know the philosophy. The spirit soul left the body. But when you see it, it's, you know, you can't have a conversation with that person anymore. There's no, it's lifeless, no rasa. So the real attraction is not for the body, because there is the body. It was painful to see that congregation member body just lying there. And I'm sure you've all had some, or many of you, most of you have had some experience like that. So the real person is the spirit soul within. And if we're going to have some possible condition of real happiness, this relating to the spirit soul and the concern of Prithu and the Kumaras is to see that the citizens, the people in general, the members of his kingdom would be elevated to that consciousness. So that consciousness can be attained when one is beyond the bodily conception of life and becomes attracted to the personality of Godhead, where there's no more fruitive activities. There's activity, but not fruitive activities. It's devotional activity. And in that state, there's no more material desire. One becomes freed from those desires for happiness, independent or apart from the Supreme Lord. But as soon as those, then it goes down the path of, if there are desires, then there's designations, and then there is illusion that you follow to fulfill those designations of happiness apart from the Supreme Lord. And the end of the road is suffering. Although to go down the path looked like enjoyment. It's happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning it looks very nice. In the end it's very painful. But actually it's painful all the way. It just looked nice. It's illusion. One has to let go of illusion in order to be situated in reality. And this is a nice chapter. We'll be discussing it some more during the morning classes in Chicago Temple. But it's a nice chapter amongst many nice chapters to help the conditioned soul let go of this expectation of material happiness in material life and embrace instead the spiritual happiness in spiritual life, the path of self-realization, the path of awakening God consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So, is it arti time? Is there any discussion before arti happens? Questions or comments or anything? Okay. Suwal? Arti? Okay. Hare Krishna.